Rejoice! all together.
You are Alpha and Omega.
We worship.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah, Lord, you are Alpha.
You are Alpha, Lord.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to
One more time, we're gonna sing it again. You are Alpha, Lord.
You are Alpha and Omega.
We worship
you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Yes, Lord, we give you all the glory.
Father, we give you praise. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the worship, all the adoration. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We thank you, Father God, that you have shown yourself faithful, even when we were not strong. When we were weak, you believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. You've established in our lives great and mighty things. Lord, oh God, we cry out to God, to you, the God who's done so much for us, that even now that you will carry us and help us be everything you say we are. Erase, oh God, the doubts, the fears, by the presence of your everlasting love. Lord, oh God, with lifted hands, oh God, and surrender, we worship you and we receive your everlasting love. Father, today, heal your people. Transform lives during the course of this service today. Let our minds be renewed. Let our focus, oh God, be as laser beams. Focus to cut through every situation that must not be before us. We rest in your grace, for you are Alpha and Omega. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you. Yes, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive all the glory, all the worship, all the adoration. You deserve it all. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this wonderful day. The Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Worship team, thank you so very much. Before Mama comes, just like to share real quickly that on the 31st through the 1st of January, we will be having a night service like we normally do. We're going to start at 9 o'clock, just blessing the name of the Lord. And in the new year, we're going to have a baptism. And if you are interested in being baptized, please let Mama and I know, and we'll make certain that you are noted for that particular time. So, January the 31st, 9 p.m. is when we're going to start our time of worship and adoration, celebrating the goodness of God with thanksgiving right through to the first. And when we get to the first thing that is going to happen for so many is that they're going to be baptized. And if you are one of those, again, let Mama and I know, and we'll make certain that you are baptized at that time. So you start 2021 strong. 2022. Thank you. Thank you. 2022. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then again, next Friday, we start our special meetings. That's at 6:30, the 17th, the 18th, and on the 19th, which is a Sunday, next Sunday, in the evening, the meeting is going to start at 6:30, not at 7, like we normally will start, because it's going to be part of the special meetings for that weekend. And Sunday evening, our young ones are going to be doing some special presentation and blessing us. So invite your friends, your neighbors to this special time, the 17th, the 18th, and the 19th. Praise the Lord. Actually, I would like to show you the video, the promotion for the next meetings coming up on the 17th and the 18th. And as that promotion ends, Mama was going to come up and lead us in our time of prayer. Let's have the promotion. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, children and teachers and people on soundboard, once I start doing this, please make sure it's on. So, praise the Lord. All right, everybody else, you can stand, stretch your hands towards the children. Whether you have children or not, bless other people's children and God will bless yours. Hallelujah. Father, we lift all our teachers and all our children before you. Every single one of them. Biological children, spiritual children, partners all over the world, extended families. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those in the womb, those that are yet to come, and those that are already in the earth. Father, touch everyone. We lift everyone before you. You are their portion in the land of the living. May every child know Jesus, love Jesus, walk with him all the days of their lives. That your guidance through the Holy Spirit will be their guide. In the name of Jesus, every evil in this earth passes over them. Every destruction passes over them. Only the goodness of the Lord is established upon every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we declare so. Amen. God bless you, children. See you later. Praise the Lord. Okay. Sure. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Children from, if they're already teenagers, somebody was asking if they can be baptized. Yes, because you're already at the age of knowing good and evil. You can choose Jesus. So praise the Lord. All right, let's continue our prayer. Father, we thank you for this glorious day, this wonderful day. We invite your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you, we receive you. Have your way in our lives, in our church, in our city, in our nation, in our families, in our ministry, in our businesses, in every situation in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John 3. Let us start reading. You can read the whole chapter at your own time at home. So I'll read up to a point and then I'll skip and then finish it up at home on your own. Praise the Lord. All right, who can tell me what John 3:16 is before we get there? Against everybody? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why you are here this morning. You gave your life to him. He gave himself for us, and we gave us back to him. Hallelujah. All right, let us read. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So somebody said this is a real person. Yes, yeah, so this is not a parable. This is for real. Somebody say, I'm going to be real. Amen. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Somebody say, Jesus is still the miracle worker, and he lives in me. So miracles will never cease in my life. Say amen. So this when I come up here, it's called the time to pray. So you are praying the word. So use your voice. This is the only time you can use a lot of time, your voice, in the service. So take a good advantage of it. Say amen. Pastor cannot be preaching and then you are talking. The only thing you can do then is say amen, hallelujah, that's it. Everything else, you are out of order. So praise the Lord. But now you can say things. Miracle worker, you live in me. Miracles will never cease in my life. Say amen. Where does Jesus live again? He lives in me. He lives in your heart. Praise the Lord. So the miracle worker is in you. Say amen. So when you activate his word, miracles must happen for me and for you. Say, I believe him. Yeah, you don't have to believe other people. Just believe him. Say amen. All right, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Somebody say, I must be born again. Somebody say, I am born again. So what's being born again? You're born from flesh to the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. You're already born. You're physically born. You're human already. But your spirit man is what fell away from God. It has to be restored. So that's why you ask him to come into your heart. So when he comes into your heart, your spirit man is completely restored. So God can now be able to communicate with you. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Jesus says, if you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not blind to us. We can see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. We can see the handiwork of God. Hallelujah. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the water? The water of the word. The word is the living water. Hallelujah. Jesus said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. The word of God is the water of the word. You shall be washed by the water of the word. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then by his spirit, your spirit must be born again. Hallelujah. If you don't have these two things, you cannot enter. So if you don't enter the kingdom, you cannot see the kingdom. You are not part of the kingdom. Somebody say, I'm part of the kingdom of God. Say amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Somebody say, I am spirit. Say amen. Hallelujah. Your spirit that lives in a physical body, you live in a house. Your flesh is your house. But God also says your flesh, your body is a temple of the living God. So your spirit, soul, and body, they belong to him. Surrender it all. Somebody say, surrender it all to him. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But can thou not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not readable, predictable. At least I'm not. I'm not readable, predictable. When you figure me this way, but I've moved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The one born of the Spirit is like the wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says a time is coming, the angels are going to hold the wind. Somebody says, I serve a powerful God. Whatever he says goes. So time is coming, say, hold the wind. He's your daddy God. I don't know about you, he's my daddy God. I depend on him. Say, Lord, I depend on you. Every day, every hour, every moment, in the name of Jesus. Say big amen. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Remember, he's not a rookie. He knows the word. But now he's learning about the spirit of the word. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. As you come to the house of God, you hear the word of God all the time. May you receive what you have heard. Say amen. Because you can hear and yet have not heard nothing. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Somebody say, Lord, help my belief. So you can begin to believe God. Say amen. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let me read that verse 13 again. No man, Apostle has preached and taught us about this many times. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom. You cannot enter, you cannot understand heavenly things. Why? Jesus is saying, I'm here with you right now, talking to you. I'm talking to you from heavenly places. I'm talking to you from the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's in both dimensions at the same time. Somebody shout hallelujah. So don't try to understand the things of the spirit with earthly understanding. It's impossible. Say, I am born again. So once you're born again, heavenly things are clear to you. The power to hear and to understand will come into you. Say amen. All right. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be what? Lifted up. He's talking about his death and resurrection. He's talking about things that Nicodemus is 100% clueless about, but nevertheless, he had to talk about them. Say amen. Just like you come to church, there are some part of preaching that are so deep for you, you're just clueless about what's pastor talking about now, but that's okay. Nevertheless, they have to be spoken. Say amen. Somebody say, I will catch up. Say, I will catch up. Yes, the things of God, sometimes you have to catch it. They're caught. Spiritual things, sometimes they are caught. They are taught, but they are also caught. So being present, what happened to Elijah and Elisha? If Elisha wasn't present, he could not have caught that mantle. Somebody say, I'll be present to catch. Say amen. Every single statement I've been making, they are all messages. So praise the Lord. So you just getting some things talking to your spirit. Don't worry whether you get it or not. You catch up. Say amen. Hallelujah. I'll read up to 16 and then I'll move up a little bit. That whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. But have what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the most important thing for us is eternal life. We will never perish. 16. For God, so everybody read out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I got to just do 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right, finish reading. Go on and on. I'm so tempted to continue, but I'm going to just move on a little bit. Jesus is talking about heavenly things, so let's read a little bit more. Go to 31, verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Are there above all people here this morning? Hallelujah. James 1 tells us that he is the father of lights that cometh from what? Heaven. So we are part of that. He is our father. Hallelujah. He that cometh from above is what? Above all. May God move every one of us to above all today, to be always in heavenly places. Even though we can live in the two dimensions, we live in the earth, but in heaven. Heaven overrides the earth. Say amen. He that of the earth is what? Earthly. So if you don't learn to do this, you are just earthly. You are carnal, you are meathead, and what do we do with meat? We eat meat. Hallelujah. God says, I don't eat meat. I don't eat cows and bulls. Hallelujah. He eats praise. Praise is spiritual. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Somebody say, I'm like my father. Yes, like father, like son, like daughter. Be like your daddy God. Say amen. So he already told you, if you are earthly, you will be what? Earthly. And all your language will be about what? Earthly. So all you are involved with is politics and nonsense conversations that are meaningless, that do not bring any profit to your life other than pain and sorrow and destruction. May God transform you today. Rise. May God transform every one of us. Hallelujah. He that cometh from heaven is above all. We've been lifted to a higher place. Father, we bless your holy name. You are our God. You are not a low God. You are our heavenly Father, above all God. And all your children, you want them to rise to this above all place. Father, everyone struggling today, pull them. Draw them back to you. Let them be born of your spirit. If you are truly not born again, this is your moment. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Be my master, ruler of my life, driver of my life, guider of my life, director of my life. From now on, I live and breathe and act in you. In the name of Jesus. If this is your prayer to you, say amen. Father, we bless your holy name. I know a lot of you kept quiet. If I was saying, God bless you, I'm blessed and highly favored, the goodness of God, the favor of God, you will be repeating it. May we learn to really be serious with our God. Father, touch our heart. Wake our heart up to choose you always. To choose you above all. That which is from heaven is above all. May we remain in that above all realm. Always, in everything we do, in our decision making, in our daily living, in our attitude, in our voices, in our words, in our actions, that which is earthly is totally earthly. May earthly realm no longer have hold of our lives. In the name of Jesus, may we remember it's just a house. The master of the house is the spirit man. That the spirit man will be above all. In the name of Jesus. Lord, arise and let the families of glory and peace wake up. Rise up and become this heavenly people. In the name of Jesus. In everything that faces them, they overcome. Because they are not just earthly people, they are heavenly people. The above all anointing will be upon everyone. In the name of Jesus, power of victory, power of success, power of following God, power of worshiping God, power of being truthful. In the name of Jesus, power of excellence, always choosing righteousness over evil. In the name of Jesus, arise ye that sleepeth, awake from your slumber. Lord, give peace to your children. Give love to your children. You have given the love that they will remain connected. In the name of Jesus, you are the taproot of our life. You are the stem of our life. You are the vine of our lives that will remain continuously and perpetually attached to you. That we will feed and become this fruitful generation. Lord, we thank you as the year is wrapping up. May we not remain behind, but follow the unction of the Holy Ghost to the direction you want us to be. Savior, 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 save every family member. In the name of Jesus, those who are struggling, they have no answer. Jesus, you are the answer. Miracle worker, work miracles. You live in their heart. Let the miracle worker begin to work in them, in Jesus' name. Walk in every one of us. Father, that we know who we are and continue to walk in this direction of light, direction of the goodness of God. Father, touch everyone who's sick. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Heal their cells, their bones, their blood, their sinews, their veins, their arteries, all their internal, external organs. Be healed, be restored, be made whole. Strength to strength. In the name of Jesus, rise from your sick bed and walk in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for supernatural strength upon all your children, every one of us. In the name of Jesus, oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Rise from poverty and lack. Financial struggles be over. Favor on their businesses and their finances, every single one. In the name of Jesus, supernatural finance, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, Almighty God, for this, for Israel, Jerusalem. We speak peace over Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace, peace, peace. Remember continuously your everlasting covenant you made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the words that came from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, remember your people. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come to all the nations that call upon your name. Let this peace reign in Israel, Nigeria, United States of America, Canada, and all the nations of the earth, where someone is calling the name of Jesus. For one sake, save the nation.
Oh God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Save your people.
Hallelujah.
Save your Savior.
Hallelujah.
Save your Savior.
Savior.
Have mercy
Hallelujah.
On the nations of the world. Every nation, oh God, every island of the sea, no matter how far remote, Jesus, have mercy.
Yes, Father.
Save your safe families.
Save
in Jesus' name, cover everyone with the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Every pandemic and every kind of evil going on in the earth, we never touch any of our families, any of our church family. We
never
say death pass over.
In Jesus'
evil
name.
Evil pass over.
In Jesus'
Viruses
name.
Pass over.
In Jesus'
name. In the
name.
Name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We remain and remain and remain and act and do everything under the shadow of the Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
We are continuously and perpetually protected by your blood, by your word, and by your water. And these three bear witness on earth and bear witness in heaven. In Jesus' name we say amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Bless the service, bless your word, bless the thanksgiving offering, tithes, and Lord, let your word now come with power, with grace, favor, mercy, and truth. Let us not become forgetful hearers, but the doers of your word.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we declare so done. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
God bless
hallelujah.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Last week, I began sharing with you about the thought of being spawned to perfection. And I shared with you about the potter molding the clay and making a vessel out of it. And the process of being spun. This morning, I want to still go in that trend, but from a different perspective. Because part of the experience that we have in the Lord is that God brings us into experiences that are meant to be of service to others. Everything about your life and my life is not really about us. It's about others. You think, well, I am going to study to be a doctor so I can make lots of money. But bear with me a moment. If you're a doctor and you're not serving people, will you make the money? No. Everything happens in life based on the power of service. When you and I understand the power of service, that we are called to serve, at that point, we really start living. Until you start serving, you are just existing. You're just occupying space. You are no good to anyone without the principle of service. It is so embedded in the things of the kingdom of God that we say about what we are doing right now, we are in a what?
Service.
Everything about God is about service. And service is founded in the principle of love. There is nothing you're going to do in this life that secludes and isolates service that makes your life of meaningful value. Your worth is embedded in your service. Your life is embedded in service. Think about it. The kingdom of God, the economy of the kingdom of God runs through the pathway of service. It's interesting that while that is true, a lot of people come to church, to a church service, and have not learned how to serve. They just come so that they can be served. Do the praise and worship so I can be served. Preach so I can be served. Clean the place so I can be served. It's all about what am I going to get, not what am I going to give. Service is about giving. And it is more blessed to do what? Give than to what? Receive. But I want to receive, I want to receive. I want to get, I want to get. And God says, no. You got it backwards. It's better for you to give so that you can receive. My prayer is that we grasp deep within our spirit and our psyche this powerful principle that the economy of God is based on service, acts of love. In the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, beginning to read from verse 1, John 13 and verse 1. It says, now before the feast of Passover,
Remember, Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is going to be the lamb. And that is the first thing that was declared about him. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Passover lamb. Jesus, our Lord, said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. He says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew, watch this, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that his time of purpose was come, that he should depart out of this world. Okay? His reason for coming is here, and he's going to depart out of this world unto the Father. And watch this next statement. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them partially. Right? He loved them most of the time. Is that what it says? No. It says he loved them unto the end. So when God loved, he loved completely. He started, as we sang just a moment ago, he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He loved them unto the end. He knew his purpose. Say it with me. Jesus knew his purpose. And he tells us what our purpose is. Loving to the end. Now he's going to explain what loving to the end means. It says in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, watch this. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. So in essence, he knew who he was. He knew his purpose, verse 1. Now he knew who his person was, his identity. That tells me two things. That if you know your purpose and you know who you are, nothing deters you from serving. Because the next statement we read is this. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And what does he do? He pours out water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with he was girded. So Jesus, who knew his purpose, and that purpose was to love from the beginning to the end, who knew who he was, knew where he came from, knew that everything was in his hands, knew that he had access to everything, knew where he came from, and to where he was going, gets up, takes a basin, pours water into it, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, bear in mind that they didn't have fully covered shoes like we do now. When Jesus was here, they had flip-flops, sandals. So those feet, as soon as you get out of your house, are very, very dirty. They didn't have socks to cover it. Are you with me? They're dirty. And he
Jesus, is washing their feet. Peter said, come on, come on, come on. You're not going to do that. Not me. He's busy watching Jesus, washing the other disciples' feet. And he's saying, what are these crazy guys doing? What is he doing? And why are they letting him do that? He's judgmental. And when Jesus comes to him, he says, I'm not like them. You are not going to be washing my feet. I forbid you to do that. Jesus says, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. You don't belong to me. If you belong to me, I'm going to serve you. Wow. When we see that people belong to us and we belong to them, we are humbled to serve. Jesus, our Lord says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And every time I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded again of an experience I had with my oldest son. It was maybe between four, maybe six, not too certain right now, but no more than seven. But certainly somewhere between four and six. I was busy hosing down my vehicle and washing it in the parking lot. And he's there with me. And he says, Dad, let me help. I said, no, you can't help. You can't do this. Just watch. He says, I want to help. I said, it's okay, son. It's okay. He says, how can I feel that I'm part of the family if you don't let me? I said, hey, this is serious. I'm looking at this kid telling me, the dad, how can I be part of the family, feel like I'm a part of the family if you don't let me help? Guess what I did? I let him help. Because to him, service meant that I'm part of. And that came from the Spirit of God, out of the mouth of babes, children. Truth is proclaimed. Wow. The Lord says, if I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. So Peter goes the other way. He swings from one from one end to the other end. He says, Lord, not my feet only, but do more than you did for them. My head also. Oh, yes. But also my hands and my head. And the Lord makes his statement. And the statement was simple. Jesus says to him, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet. If you already wash, you don't need anything else but to wash your feet. You've already taken a bath. It's just your feet. Your feet have been marching around all over the place, stepping here, stepping there. That's all that needs to be washed. But then he says, but you're clean, but not all. And the statement he was making here is this. There's somebody who's going to be doing a service, but it's not the right service. Now, I don't want anyone to lose the point as we talk about service today. Works. To think that you are saved by faith and works. That you have to do something to get saved. Jesus says, if you have had your bath, all you need to do is to wash your feet. And the deeper message is that we are saved. When you saved, you saved. But then you're going to make different messes and you need to repent and be cleansed of those filth that you have stepped into and the contamination that's come into your life. But it takes us deeper. He takes us to the place where he says, listen, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And what is he saying? He's saying to us, yes, you're saved. But if you don't have works that correspond with what you've experienced, you lose out. Come on. I want you to come along. Because I know you're saved. I know I'm saved. But God says, show me your salvation by your walk. So I need to wash your feet. But then it takes us a little bit further down. And what does he say to us? Let's see. Because he's going to go to the issue of service. He says in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? Do you know what I just did? You called me master and Lord, and you say, well, yes, I am master, I'm Lord. If I then, your Lord and your master, have washed your feet, serviced you as the servant ruled, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought also to serve each other. If I served you, then you need to do the same thing to each other. For I've given you an example. Some say, he has given us an example. He says, for I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. I've given an example to serve. Don't think of yourself too highly that you do not know that you need to serve. As I've traveled around the world ministering, I've seen in real life many that are serving in different churches. I've met doctors, engineers, lawyers, businessmen. And when I say businessman, I don't mean somebody who just has a storefront. I mean somebody who's dealing with billions of dollars, millions and billions of dollars. And where do I see them? They are ushering people in to the church. They are in the parking lot, helping people park their vehicles. Just the other day, I had a gentleman come in here, and we're discussing some business stuff. And lo and behold, there was a movie that was, part of the movie was shot right here, and that movie is going to be shown this February on CBC. And this guy was the producer. He sponsored the movie. Okay, are you with me? He sponsored the movie. I found out yesterday that while he was the owner paying the bills for everybody, he was out there in the foyer serving people sandwiches. Are you with me? He was busy serving. Huh. It did not take one thing away from him. Servicing people doesn't take anything from you. It adds to you. Jesus knew who he was. Got up and began to serve. And says, I'm doing this as an example. So that you do the same thing. Outdo each other trying to serve. Don't be somebody who's just there watching. God didn't call us to be spectators. He called us to be participants. Doing service. And guess what? Service means sacrifice. You cannot really serve if you're not sacrificing. Servicing costs you something so that you can be something. You've heard me say it many times before, I've not seen a fruit eat itself. Fruit trees are there to serve. Hello? No tree gives itself shade. Trees give shade to others. It's not all about you, brother, sister, pastor. It's about others. Your life becomes meaningful when you serve in somebody. When you bring increase to others, that's when your life becomes meaningful and worthy. It gives you worth, value. Value comes from service. You're paid for your service. That's what separates those that are at the bottom of the totem pole from those that are at the top of the totem pole. Service. What are you bringing to the table? And when somebody's not bringing anything to the table and they are giving so much value, they don't comprehend and have an understanding that it costs something to get where they are. And what do? They become abusive. They don't put themselves in other people's moccasins so that they understand where somebody else is coming from, why this is not happening as fast as it should happen. This should have happened already. And that's blah, 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 blah. And you start pushing people all over the place without slowing down and saying, why isn't this done yet? What do they have to do to get to this, to get to that, to get to this? And you come with an understanding. Because in your attitude to somebody else, you are servicing them. You're having an understanding of the dialogue and the narratives going on in their minds, why things are the way they are. And then patience begins to work. Love is expressed. Understanding is expressed. And peace and harmony takes hold. Because many times, you don't know what's going on the other side. And your service to somebody is also trying to understand them. Are you with me so far? Okay. Let's go further. Says, I've given you an example. 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Who sent him? The Father. He said, I'm not greater than the Father. Now, he counted it not robbery to be equal with God. So there's equality there. But he's saying, by taking on this responsibility, he is greater. Now, I'm the pastor. And I come here, and they say, Bro Byron or Bro Wes is busy doing something. They're building something, they're painting something, whatever, something is happening. And they say to me, can you please get me that? I become the sent. I become the gopher. Go for this, go for that. At that particular point, there's a shift. Because now, I am the what? The sent. And as the sent, I am now subject to the word or the instruction or guidance or whatever that is given to me. So if he says, give me that, I don't give them that. I give them what they said, right? Okay. That's how I served. But if I gave them that, which they did not ask for, I did not serve. Hello? So service is in the obedience to the instruction. Yeah? I might be greater, but by what has been asked for, I am now serving. Guess what? I don't know if you're ready for this. I don't think you're ready for it. Do you know that God is greater than you? You do know that. And when you ask God for something and God does it, what did God just do? He just saved you. Do you know that every time you pray, God is humbling himself to serve you? Wow. God humbles himself to serve me? Yes. What do you think he did when he left, when Jesus left heaven and came to the earth? Why did he come? He came to serve you. Every time he answers your prayer, he serves you. Every time you ask for something and he dispatches angels, he is serving. Everything that is done when a request is made is an act of service. So your money becomes your servant.
When you send your money to do something, your money is serving. Hello? Hallelujah. If your money sends you, you become a servant to your money. That's why you must never allow money to send you. Money has to serve you. Praise the Lord. Because if you allow money to send you, now you say, what do you mean by money sending me? Money sends you when you give it the power over your life and depend on it to do whatever it is that you need to do because you've given all the power to it. When money understands, yes, it's going to serve you as a tool. As a tool. But that it does not have overwhelming control over your life. Because I need you, but I don't need you that much that I have to sell my soul to you to do anything. Because whatever it is I need can be accomplished many other ways without you. That's a totally different thinking. Because that kind of a thinking causes you to determine where and how you're going to serve. That's a little bit much. I'm going to put that package together because if I start dwelling on that, I might not get to where I need to go. So I'm going to take that whole package, and I'm going to keep it for another day. Praise the Lord. But what I want us to get grasped deep within ourselves today is that we are called to serve. 17. If you know these things, if you know these things, happy are ye because you know it. Because you do them. It is not you knowing it that's going to make you happy. Doing it, doing service, knowing that service is important. It's not what's going to make you happy. What's going to make you happy is when you do it. And I just showed you an example. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Colossians 3. The Lord says through Paul, and whatsoever you do, whatever it is that you're doing, do it how? Heartily. As to whom? To the Lord, and not unto what? Men. In other words, whatever it is that you're doing to the Lord. Don't do it unto man. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean? You're not doing it unto men. Well, because if you're doing it unto men, then you are going to be expecting your reward and your blessing from men. But when you do it as unto the Lord, you do it as unto the Lord because the reward is coming from the Lord. Okay, come. Are you here? Every dime that you paid for service, you must understand is extra, is seed, not your reward. Come. I am not being paid for my service. I'm receiving seed, an opportunity, again, to cause this seed to be of service because my reward is from whom? The Lord. God, nobody can pay me for what I do. Only you can. And whatever I'm receiving right now, this is seed that is going to now continue to serve in another way. Are you hearing? Deep within your spirit? Please hear it. Because at that point, when you understand that it is seed, when you understand that it's seed and not payment for your service, you have a greater right to demand more seed for greater purpose. Because now the seed doesn't have to match up with your service. So I am not working for $5 an hour. If the service I gave was $5 an hour, but I can expect $1,000 for an hour, even though what I did was only worth $5 an hour. Because it is not, you're not paying me. I'm here to collect seed. I'm here to do what? Collect seed. For sowing. To serve. My reward is coming from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is somebody listening? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye do what? Serve the Lord Christ. If I understand that I am serving the Lord Christ, then if that is what I believe and I know, then my service is not going to be a mediocre one. It's going to be excellent because I am serving His Excellency. So if I'm painting, I'm a painter, I'm painting it so that when Jesus looks at it, He says, "You did a great job. I love that. Yeah, that's good." If I am engineering a vehicle, I'm engineering that vehicle as unto the Lord. Can you imagine an engineer, mechanical engineer or whatever, somebody who's working on a vehicle, and they have children, and their child, their family will be riding in that vehicle? How meticulous do you think that person is going to be to make sure that that vehicle is safe? Are you with me? Okay, so why do we do things shabbily? Because it's good enough. Why do you do that? It's good enough. Good enough is the mother of mediocrity. We don't want to do good enough. We want to do the best and find a way to make it better. Many years ago, I won a competition where I was competing with a student. I was just in primary school. And I was competing with people in community colleges, universities, high school, representing my small elementary school and one in my
won the was chosen to represent my school, and then won my local division, local government area, and went to the state level and won. And this particular organization had a motto, and the motto was to make the best better. To make the best better. I said, what on earth is this? To make the best better. How do you make the best better? It's good, better, best. And as a young man, I pondered that. Make the best better. I believe it is that principle in the subconscious level that brought me to the place where I said, never peak. Because once you peak, you start falling. That you can get to the best and still improve on it. Except when you're doing facial lifts. you know those people that are always fixing their face and they start looking really funny? Well, to make the best better in that case is leave the best alone. Hallelujah. But this is a challenge that we must embrace. Am I going to serve people like I'm going to serve the Lord? Am I going to treat you as special? If we begin to treat each other as special, things will change dramatically in our families, in our churches, in our businesses, because we're always looking for the best and wanting the best. And when you are about people, you're not about greed. Hello? When you know that you are there to serve others, you're not there to be greedy. Grab this, grab that, whatever it is I can get. You're there to make sure that everybody participates and enjoys. Let me swing this another direction. If you are there to serve, you understand that you give others the opportunity also to serve. There are people who serve and they serve so that they are known as the ones that are serving and therefore will not let anybody else come to serve. Come on. You do that, you're all about yourself. Because true service embraces other people, just like my young son said, how can I feel that I'm part of the family? Is he going to do a great job like I'm going to do? No. But is he going to learn? Yeah. You see, when you serve in each other, you give the opportunity for people to make the mistakes that they might make. Yeah, they're going to make mistakes. But they are all washed. All they need to do is have their feet cleansed. Give the opportunity for them to make their mistakes. And love them through it. Help them through it. That's how you continue the example of service. Jesus came to serve. But can you imagine him not letting his disciples serve with him? Jethro says to Moses, "Moses, you're not doing the right thing. You cannot serve these people all by yourself. You got to have other people come alongside of you to help you serve them. And God took of the spirit that was on Moses and put it on people that help, and everybody served. And guess what? The weight of burden was spread out. Have you ever tried to move a fridge or a couch with a group of people and you're all carrying this thing and the thing feels so light? And everybody's trying to cheat. But the thing is moving. Because the weight is distributed. In a church such as this, nobody should be overworked. And the fault is not just for the overworked or those that are not working. The fault is also for those that are overworked because they do not find somebody to train to lighten the weight. People can learn. Yeah. If they can learn, the weight can be spread out. If we can pray, the weight can be spread out. We should all be in the service of the Lord together, helping each other to grow. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. In John, remember John 13 comes before John 14. Yeah? And what does John 14 say? John 14 says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Is that what he said? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, I am going to do what? Prepare a place for you. What does that mean? Service. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to get the place ready for you. It's called service. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus says to this man, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's three loves here. And God says they are equal. 37 says, the first commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all what? Thy heart, with all your what? Your soul, and with all your what? Your mind. And then it says, the second is like the first. You see that? And the second is love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The third one, as thyself. Love yourself with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. In other words, just love, period, from beginning to the end. Love completely. You love in God, love God completely. You love people, love them completely. You love yourself completely. In loving yourself, you're loving God. In loving other people, you're loving God. But understand that if you're loving God first, with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, you're going to do excellent with the other two. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's move this ball. Matthew 25. Verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ah, watch this. For I was what? Hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. What do you think all of that is? Love, expressed in what? In service. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. What was all of that? Love, expressed in service. You know what? If you read the Word of God with this principle of love and service in your mind, your Bible will open up in amazing ways. You will see things that you never saw before. Let's go. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Whatsoever it is that you do, do it as unto the Lord. 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye what? Cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepared for. There's a preparation for those that are serving from the foundation of the world. And there's a preparation for those that did not serve. They join with the devil and his angels, because the devil did not want to what? Serve. He wanted to be served. And there's only H-E double hockey sticks. Hello. Without the O. Oh, glory to God.
42. For I was anhungered and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, and naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or athirst or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee, did not serve you? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. What is the point? The point is, there was a need, and you came alongside to make sure that that need was addressed. And when you came to be an answer, a solution, you are doing it with me. You are partnering with me. And our theme for this new year is partnering with God. And guess what that is? Service. Service. Loving people and serving. Coming alongside somebody and helping. Asking, how can I be of assistance to you? How can I help you today? That when we wake up every morning, every day, we are asking God one simple thing. God, where do you want me to serve and how do you want me to serve? Who is it that I need to serve? Show me how I must serve. And doing whatever it is that you need to do, helping. God looks at that and says, that's my son, created in my image and my likeness. Guess the first thing God did? After God created everything and now created man, first thing, it is not good for a man to be what? Alone. I'll give him a help meet for him. Somebody that's going to come alongside and help him serve. What does God do? He brings animals. Does God know the names of the animals? Sure does. I don't know whether the turtle was supposed to be called elephant. But when Adam called the so-called turtle an elephant, God said, that's the name. That's the name. God came alongside. And guess what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a paraclete, a helper, who's going to come alongside of you and help you. Because God, you don't need any help if there's nothing to do. If there is help, it's because there's something to be done. And God is calling you and I to that wholeness. Amen? Praise the Lord. In 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We save by grace and not by works. True. But it's also true that if you're not a person who is serving, you cannot be certain of your security.
Faith and works go together. Works did not save me. Grace saved me. But the word of God continues and says, work out your salvation with fear and what? Trembling. I was saved. I am saved. I will be saved. And your walk is going to determine a great deal of what happens in your life and mine. Don't say, I'm a Christian, and you're not serving. What do you call it? An oxymoron? Those two don't line up. If you are saved, find a way to serve. I'll leave it at that for now. Did you capish? Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, this time we're going to continue with our service unto the Lord by bringing our seeds of faith, recognizing that God is a God who rewards us, God is a God who increases us, God is a God who blesses us. And when we selflessly focus our attention in pleasing Him, He says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. At this moment, may we activate and give life to our faith by doing what our Lord Jesus Christ did, sow a seed. He sowed the seed of Himself and was raised gloriously. In a few weeks from now, we're going to be celebrating what the world knows as Christmas. And it will be Jesus coming into the world to serve us. Mama read us from John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, the Him being God, and the Him being Jesus, the seed that was sent, that person, should not, underline that word, should. Should is not will. Should is just that. You shouldn't perish because you have this, but have everlasting life. I want every one of us to be secure in our salvation, but not take our salvation from God lightly and casually, that we abuse it. But understand that God is saying to us, you saved, act saved. And acting saved is a call to serve like He, God, served and continues to serve. Amen? Come, let's honor God. While you're honoring the Lord with your giving, is there anyone here today who say, you know what? I need to give my life to God. I need to turn my life over to the Lord and ask Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Is there anyone like that here this morning that needs to just turn their lives over to the Lord? If you're here, just raise your hand and wave at me. Is anybody like that? Okay. I see no hands. Now, is there somebody here today saying, you know, was your hand going up? Oh, okay, I'll say it again. Is there anyone here today that wants to say, you know, God, I want to turn my life over to you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's something you want to do, okay, I see that hand then. God bless you. Praise God. I see that hand over there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. Is there anyone else that might say, you know, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I belong to God already. But I'm not serving. And I've heard the word of God today, and I need to be one who's serving. See that hand. Praise God. I want to serve. I see that hand over there also. I see another hand over here. Praise the Lord. Now, do understand, like we said, it is not just knowing that you need to serve. You need to actively begin to do. Amen? So those of you that are raising your hand and you want to serve, I'm going to encourage you to reach out to a leader. Find a place that you can possibly serve the people of God. Might be being an usher, might be using your giftings in music, giftings in whatever, IT, whatever. Whatever it is that you can do to be of service, I want you to do that. Amen? Rise with me, saints. Those of you that are asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart for the first time, I want you to repeat after me, and everyone else is welcome to do the same. Just say, Father, I've heard your word. I do believe that Jesus Christ died for my salvation, was raised again from the dead, that I might live eternally. I accept the one that you have chosen to be the source of salvation for my soul. I accept Jesus Christ as my satisfaction for salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for taking my place and giving me your place. This day, I turn my life over to you. And by faith, I declare I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, everyone else, also repeat after me. If you are called to serve, if you know that this is God's assignment for your life, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me by saying these words. Lord Jesus, I know service is an integral part of my walk before you. So now, Lord, I ask that you will show me where and how to serve. I will obediently follow your guidance. Direct me, O God, that I may serve like you serve, that I will minister like you minister. I receive the anointing to serve in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Mama, please come. Let us share communion together. If you do not have your communion element and you do need one, just raise your hand and the ushers will serve you right away. Does anyone need the elements for communion? I see a hand over there.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. This is the body of Christ. He paid a price for us. So as we take this, may you remain healthy. May your body become whole.
Amen.
May your spirit, soul, and body align to the word of God.
Amen.
May God keep you safe and your family.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, take and eat.
Amen. This is a cup of blessing. As you take off this cup and drink, may the blessings of God rest upon you and upon your household, upon everything that you do. Let this blood be the demarcation of the boundary that separates you from the curse and separates the first fruit of your life, that which causes everything else to be blessed, to be sanctified and protected from harm. May God's favor abound towards you. And may you be head and not tail, amen, above only and not beneath. May the grace that this blood of Jesus Christ brings about, even the grace that brought about our salvation, may this serve you and help you to serve. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Take of this cup and drink. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do the funnel. Lord, let your blessings pour into our lives. Enlarge our capacity to receive and enlarge our capacity to serve. Give so much to us that we are able to give so much out without running out. In Jesus' name, we receive your anointings.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Bless you. May you go forth in great strength, be empowered to succeed. Look forward to seeing you tonight. And remember, this Friday, our meetings begin Friday, Saturday, and we'll conclude with the young ones doing a concert of some sort and ministering to us also. Amen? See you. Remember, no Wednesday Bible studies or Friday Bibles or prayer meetings for the rest of the month.
Children are doing their rehearsal now after the service.
Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, I saw somebody. Is there anyone on Zoom?